welcome to a special edition of Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. I'm fortunate enough to be part of the RIAS Berlin Commission, which is hosting 30 American journalists from around the U.S. here in Germany for a week-long program with stops in Cologne and Munich. So a special Quest for Gold this week. We're live on location from Munich, Germany, specifically the Olympia Swimming Hall at the Olympia Park. This is the exact same spot where Mark Spitz won 7 gold medals for the U.S. The pool is still here. In fact, I'm watching some people swim in it right now, with the towering high dives in the background. The venue at the time sat 7,000 spectators. Today it's down to a more modest 2,000. However, the Olympic-sized pool is open to the public to swim. Just about a 5-minute walk down the trail is the original Olympic Stadium, which to this day still hosts world championship sports competitions and concerts. Yes, this is where Taylor Swift and Bruce Springsteen will perform when they're in town, and was, of course, the home site of the opening ceremonies here in Munich. Many of the venues from 1972 are still well preserved, some with renovations, and the park itself was masterfully designed to coax visitors from around the city and around the world. The area is walkable and bikeable. You're free to move around wherever you want, and you're reminded of the games from 51 years ago by original signage pointing out venues and athletic events. There are tracks, volleyball courts, tennis courts. Anyone's more than welcome to use them. And I had a chance to speak with the CEO of the park about its design, its contemporary uses, and the possibility of future uses as an Olympic venue, as Germany considers a potential future bid.
I'm Marion Schöne. I'm the CEO of the Olympic Park here in Munich.
I guess my first question is, how was this land used prior to the 1972 games?
Yes, it was. Primarily, it was an airfield for military use. At the beginning of the last century, it was an effort also for the Zeppelins. So there was a departure of 2 big Zeppelins here. And then it was used during the Second World War. It was used for the Luftwaffe. And after that, after the Second World War, it was used until 1948 from the U.S. Army.
Yeah, okay.
And after that time, it was it was transmitted or more or less transformed into an airport for general aviation, and it was stopped in 1968 because there was the bidding. The bidding was won for the Olympic Games in 1972, and this was the great construction site for the Olympic Park.
There are some great features walking around. I noticed the hill, the stadium. Who kind of inspired that design, and where did that where did the ideas of transforming this space into the Olympics kind of come from?
So that's a good question. So to be honest, there were only men who planned the Olympic Games, who supported it from the politics side and also from the technical side, from the architectural side. And the idea was to create a totally different place and totally different Olympic Games as a counterpiece to the Nazi Games 1936 in Berlin. So the idea behind this was to create here an artificial landscape park. So if you look at the Olympic Hill, it's only 50 meters high, but it's filled with the rubble of the Second World War. So it has a history, really. So, and it should be the landscape should be the artificial landscape should be symbolizing the landscape here near Munich, the Alps, the mountains, and also you have a small lake, an Olympic lake, and you could find it also in the architecture. If you look at our roof, at our tent-like roof, so you can see at the pillars, so it looks like the peaks of the mountain. So it should be an image that you feel like being in a mountain landscape here. And it was from the beginning, it was planned to call it the Green Olympic Games. And I think this was a revolutionary idea in the 70s. So nobody talked about sustainability. So now everybody is talking about this. For me, it's nearly a buzzword. Sure. So, and there's a lot of greenwashing. But But if you look at this, what they have planned, so to be this counterpart to Berlin 36, so even the venues, so they were put on the earth, or they were put in molds, so that they didn't had the effect of being monumental or any military touch should be avoided. So even the policemen didn't wear uniforms; they were put into light blue dresses. So this is was really they shouldn't be the cheerful games with short waits, so also an aspect of sustainability. Mm-hmm. And we have the Olympic village. It's only 200-300 meters here at the other side of the big street, and this was the village for the athletes. I'm living there.
Oh,
so
really?
Yes.
Okay, very
so
good.
That's really sustainable, yes. Everything is used. And all the village was really impressive, because the idea behind this was to hide the whole traffic in the underground. So it's built on pillars, more or less. Okay. And if you go outside on the first floor, so you have only pedestrian squares, lanes, and so, and you didn't see any car, because they are put under in the underground.
Okay.
So this, I think, it was revolutionary.
Sure.
Remember the 70s. So what a car? This was a symbol for the economic power of Germany, and everyone wanted to have a driver license and wanted to buy a car and all this. So this was really a revolutionary. And other when you look at it up, it's the terraced houses. So it's like now we call it vertical gardening. So and yes, yes, it's a lot of green here. So even if you go to the park, you can see it's a lot of green. So that's I think it's unique, this combination of the landscape, the artificial landscape here, and also the venues.
Well, was the idea always to have this be a park that would last 50 years, 100 years? I mean, is it at the time it was being created? Was that the thought?
So that's also a good question, because you couldn't find any concept. So there was no concept. So they just did it. So the fact was, Munich was a growing city, but we called it at this time, it was called a village with millions, with 1 million inhabitants. So there was a lack of a big stadium. We had two football teams here, or soccer teams, the German football. There was only a small stadium with a capacity of 15,000. So there was a need to build a big stadium for this capacity of 70,000 people. There was no big venue like our Olympic Hall. So for concerts, for pop concerts, for rock concerts, or also for hosting world championships in handball, basketball, or something else. So there was really a need to build these venues. So, and also in the 17th, it was at the edge of the city, more or less. This was the creating of a new green area, of a relaxation area. And then at the moment, you can see it's in the middle of the city. So, and there was the need for all these things. So the Olympic Hall is used as a concert hall. The stadium is used, was primarily used for football, for the two football teams.
Sure.
They played there over 30 years here. And at the beginning, it was really successful. Both played in the Premier League here in Germany. So the stadium was filled. So
it seems as though, like, this space was needed. It was. Yeah. They had opportunities. They saw that there was an opportunity to make this space live beyond the games itself. So how many people come here annually now?
So in average is when we have good years, there's no corona pandemic or something else. So we have around about 4 million here. Okay. And I think I have to look up the figure.
And some of these people are just walking around. Some of them just visit the park. Oh, okay.
That's the point. So we have around about 2.1 million for concerts, so buying tickets for concerts or other events here, and the rest 1.6 million are using our leisure facilities here, though like the swimming hall or the ice hall, something as the tennis court, and so on. And we normally add the same figure for the people who only go for a stroll in the park, who run through the park, who go with their dog here, and using it as a recreation relaxation area. So,
sure.
So you can say we have around about 8 million a year. So.
8 million, very good. I did the walk. There's like a walk of fame kind of along the and a lot of acts have come here. A lot of fabulous acts. What are some of those acts that people in the States would be like, oh, you know, I know these people.
Yes, it's great. So we had a very, very successful open air season this year. So we had over 700,000 visitors of open air concerts.
Okay.
And this was really a big success. And next year we had 11 open air concerts. This was really the best year we had forever. And next year I think we will have around 10. So Taylor Swift will come. Okay. It's sold out.
Sold out. Yeah, I got a teenage daughter who's weeping over that.
Yes. And also on the Olympic hall, we really every international stars will make on if they have a world tournée or a Europe tournée in Europe. So they will have a stop here in the Olympic hall or in the Olympic stadium. And most of the stars really like the stadium, because have you visited the stadium?
Yeah.
So it's very different from other football arenas.
It's very open.
That's all the concept behind us. And they, the architects, would like to show an open and open-minded, democratic country. So, so the Olympic Stadium is open. If you are sitting in the stands, so you can see around the edge. So that's great, and you have a great view on the Olympic Hill. And normally, if we have sold out concerts, like we had, Bruce Springsteen was here, the boss. So it was sold out with 70,000, and there are thousands of people sitting on the hill and watching and listening to the concert. And this is really, I always get goosebumps when I'm talking about this, because this is very special here. So normally we have a closed arena, because you have a roof, round roof, mm-hmm. and nobody could see outside, and here this is so so great, so open, and many, many people are celebrating with us the concerts without paying any cent for it. So that's great.
The soccer stadium's a little ways away. Are you competing with the soccer stadium for acts to come here when Taylor Swift or Beyonce decide they want to come to Munich? Do they have a decision? Do they have many concerts there, or is there a preferred place? How does that work?
We have a protection, competition protection, or I don't know the word in English exactly.
Sure.
So, but it's so there is a contract that in the Allianz Arena should be played only football, no concerts, and we have here the concerts, and it's not allowed to have a soccer match, a football match, a professional football match.
How does it go? How do you go about getting some of these other competitions then, whether it be track and field or swimming? There are other events that still happen here. Do these tournament organizers come to you and say, we'd like to have a a tournament, a college tournament, a university tournament, or are you out actively seeking to host tournaments? Maybe a combination of the two.
Yes, it is. It is. You're right. It is a combination of the two. So most of the operators come to us and asking to rent a place for sporting events or for concerts. But we also do biddings for sporting events. So, or we do it by ourselves. So, for example, we are hosting the European Championship handball, men's handball, next year in January. So we have the preliminary rounds here, and we hosted the European Championship. We had more about 1.4 million people who visited the European Championship. There were nine different European championships in one place. Okay. Though it was an Olympic sports like gymnastics, so we had gymnastics here in the Olympic Hall like it was in 72.
Really?
So that was really great. We hosted athletics, the European Championships of Athletics in the stadium.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Olympic side for rowing and canyoning, so we had rowing and canyoning, we had cycling here, we had triathlon here in the park, and it was a great, really a very great festival.
You want to keep it contemporary so people come and visit, but on the other hand too, you don't want to lose some of these 1972 images.
Yes, that's really not always easy. So because we have to ask everything when we do a change, we have always asking the authorities who are responsible for the monument protection, mm-hmm. and we also have to ask the copyright architect. So if you change something, you have to talk to a lot of people, and you have to get the allowance to change it.
So is the renovations kind of what your biggest challenge is now? Is that that's one of the things you're dealing with? Is there anything specific right now that they're talking about renovating that's a challenge?
Yes, it is a challenge, and we did a lot of renovation because we do the renovation since 2007, okay. and our stakeholder city of Munich has spent around about 400 million euros for it, and there will be on 200 million on the top for the renovation for the Olympic Stadium. So we will start in October to renovate it, and this is also a challenge to do it during the operating time. So we can use it in the summertime, 6 months, mm-hmm. and in the wintertime when we don't have concerts. So then the work, and we also have works during the summertime, and this will be a challenge in the next years to find here the balance.
There's been some talk about bringing the games back to Germany. Would this location be a prime spot? Do you see this as being a possible viable venue or several venues?
Definitely. So because we would like to show it was the European Championships last year, mm-hmm. that you can use a 50-year-old or that you can use 50-year-old venues for international sporting events. And it worked. So it worked. And people were really enthusiastic because they said, okay, that's so great. You don't build any white elephants. You use the existing venues. And sure, we had to build in a new track. That's normal. You have to do this. But and some small renovations, but we could use it. And we will bid for the Olympic Games, and you know there are some things, thinkings about the bidding for Germany of for Olympic Games, and I think it will be. So we will put the focus on sustainability. So it's more or less clear that we will have a bidding of two or three cities, so that we can use all the venues we have here in Germany. We don't have to build new ones, and this will reduce the costs immense.
These conversations are happening. These thoughts are happening about the Olympics, and this isn't just a rumor. This is something.
We will have a so-called, because it's very important for our DOSB, you know, the National Olympic Committee here in Germany, that they will have the support of the public, because we have a lot of lost referenda. Mm-hmm. Last one was here in, when was it held for the game, for the building? It was in 2013, I think, because there was we lost the building of the 2018 Winter Olympic Games to Pyeongchang. So this was, we did the building, but we lost it because Pyeongchang hosted 2018. Then we tried a second try, but then the politicians said, let's ask the citizens if they would like to have it, mm-hmm. and they said no. So, and we had it in Hamburg, we had it in Berlin, we had it in Leipzig. So, and therefore, it's very important that you when you are bidding, or when we in Germany will do the bid for the next Olympic, I think, summer games, though, that we will have really the support of the public. So, and we are involved in this process. So, I'm invited a lot of panels, so we're talking about, is there a chance to get it, how will we have the concept and doing this or that, how will you do this and that. And though we have also a so-called public dialogue, it will take place on the 5th of November here in the small Olympic Hall. Okay. Though there will be I hope that the Lord Mayor will come, our Minister of Bavaria, and the president of the National Olympic Committee. So we will have panels, we will have discussions, we will have booths where we will inform the people what is the concept we would like to have for mm-hmm. a possible Olympic bid, and so that we will really involve the public in this topic. And then after the Olympic Games in Paris, there will be a referendum in the selected cities, and I hope that we can convince the public that it is worth to host another Olympic Games after more than 50 years.
Where can people find out more about the park? Where can people find out about visiting? Where can they find out about the history?
So, really, we have a website. So, look at our website. It's www.olympicpark.di. So, look at it. So, you can get a lot of information about the park. And if you would like to visit the park, please come to visit the park, because we have a lot of tours. We are doing tours on the top of the roof, around the edge of the roof. We're doing tours. It's very, a very popular tour. You can doing tours, all in English, around the park. You can visit one of our concerts. Come here to come to the stadium for Taylor Swift. So,
sure. And I went to the top of the tower. It is phenomenal out there. You can see the Alps. You can see the soccer stadium. You can see everything here. It's amazing.
It's also a very good place, but it will be closed for renovation for 2 years.
I picked a good time.
And the renovation will start in June next year. Okay. So then it will be closed, but we will have another a smaller attraction. We call it our high point. There it will be built and will be in the front of the ice hall.
Now, there are only two places inside of the park where you can find Olympic rings. The IOC is very controlling over those rings. One is in a grassy area. One is a metal structure, and I'm told they have to be silver at that structure because the red color of Nazi Germany is not allowed to infiltrate the rings or the park here. We've got some pictures of the village on our website, WGNradio.com, with some stunning views from atop the Olympic Tower, as well as around the venues here at the Hill. So take a look at those. The 1972 games are probably most notably known for the terrorists attack, which happened in the Olympic Village just across the way from here. There are monuments to the 11 Israeli athletes and coaches killed in the hostage situation that began at the village and ended at a nearby airbase. We will talk more in depth about that in another episode of Quest for Gold. And we've got more to discuss on the German Olympic movement in the coming days, the past, the present, and the future in this series as we march closer and closer to the Paris Olympics in 2024. I'm Ryan Burrow, live in Munich. We'll see you next week on Quest for Gold.